Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. I'm Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today we're going to talk to the left side of Wichita State's softball infield. Riley Buck is a senior third baseman from Wellington. She is hitting 282 with 8 home runs and 11 doubles. Sydney McKinney is a sophomore. She plays shortstop. She is from Norborn, Missouri. She leads the American Athletic Conference with a .434 batting average, 51 runs, and 76 hits. The Shockers are the top seed in the conference tournament. They are 37-11-1, and they will play Friday at 6 against either Houston or Tulsa. They got pushed right to the semifinal by virtue of being the top seed. Shockers started the season 2-2, and then a 15-1 stretch followed. Beat Iowa State, you beat Oklahoma State. Give me a point during that run or whenever this season that you thought, boy, this team is capable of really doing something special.
I felt like in the fall, I could really see things coming together. Just the potential we had. Obviously, we had to prove that as we started playing. But just the potential we had and the athletes that we had brought back, and even our freshmen. I mean, we brought in some great freshmen that just really pushed our upperclassmen to get better and better every single day. I'd probably say the tournament down at UT Arlington when we beat Iowa State, and just kind of that weekend, I could kind of see things unfolding and realizing, like, we have a good shot at this. Like, there's still a lot of season left, but if we keep pushing this way, like, I knew we'd be pretty good.
Sydney, when did you get a good feeling?
I'd say probably about the same time at the UT Arlington tournament. I mean, this year, we've had more depth than we've had since I've been here. So I know, like Riley said, in the fall, we just saw that everybody could play, everybody was doing well, and then when we put the freshmen in there in that tournament and they produced, I think that was big for everyone and them, just to see that we can all do it, and Coach P can put anybody in there, and we're going to get the job done.
Riley, did it feel similar to 2018?
A little bit, I would agree. I felt like that year, I probably saw it a little later on, like, oh, dude, we're going to make a run for this. Well, this year, kind of in the fall, I saw, like, if we live up to our potential, we were going to be really, really good. So I think this year, and maybe it's just me being a little older and more experienced, I was able to see things a little quicker. But I just think we kind of saw it early on in the season that if we keep doing the things that we should and play the game right, that we were going to be pretty good.
Yeah, the freshmen have been interesting on this team. Obviously, anybody who follows Shocker softball knows about Addison Barnard and all the home runs. The other freshmen did really good jobs, it seems like, pinch hitting, those kind of things, especially early in the season. And then Cam Compton has been playing a lot of first base. Why was this group of freshmen been ready to kind of step in right away and do what they've done?
I think that, like, with all the inter squads that we had this year, I mean, we played a lot of inter squads. They saw that they can get in there and do it just as well as we can. So I think just giving them the confidence to get in there early, I think that helped them all through it.
So on Saturday, big day for the Shockers. Central Florida swept a doubleheader from South Florida. That gave Wichita State the conference title. What were you doing on Saturday? Were you following along? Were you ignoring it? How'd you handle that?
I think I can speak for everyone to say we watched every minute of it, part of it. We were still scrimmaging during the start of the first game. And so Coach B, she had it up. And I mean, we were scrimmaging. I'd say we were pretty focused and we're still in for our scrimmage. But I mean, she was keeping us updated on the first couple innings. And I think everyone was really just tuned in, ready to see what was going to happen.
So were you still together after the second game then? Or had you gone, your practice was over and you had moved on?
Yeah, practice is over. We all went home. I ordered some pizza, and that was our night. We watched.
Yeah, well, what was the celebration like? Text, I guess?
Yeah, there's text. I just think kind of everyone was chilling, doing their own thing, like she said. I think after this week, we were all, once we got through practice on Saturday, we were kind of exhausted. We were a little tired. We were ready for the rest, but I think we were just kind of all went home and had some dinner and just were going to watch it unfold.
I was hoping people maybe came back to Wilkins Stadium for a dog pile on the inner circle, but no, nobody organized that.
We should have. If you had told us before, yes. We would have for you. I've gotten some pictures, but.
Riley, what's your walk-up song and how did you choose it?
Oh, I'm really bad at this. This year, They are two songs that I've done in the past, too. They're Logan Mize. And I think I've just had this forever, honestly. I'm not one to really change mine. I don't listen to them much. It's not really a big thing for me in my walk-ups. So, I mean, they could put a different song on there, and I don't think I'd even notice it.
Sydney, how about you?
So, since freshman year, I've always had an Eminem song. And so I just kept going with that one. And my second one, CoverGirl by RuPaul. I watch RuPaul's Drag Race a lot, so I just thought it'd be fun to kind of play with something different and just a weird song to walk up to.
After you've heard your walk-up song for seasons and seasons, does it snap you into the moment? Does it help? Or is it just kind of a fun thing that you may not pay any attention to?
I don't pay any attention to it. I think some girls really do. Like, some girls really like it. They kind of, like, get more focused with it. I'm not one. I don't really hear anything in the crowd. I don't really hear the speakers. I kind of tune out everything.
I know there's some people on the team, they'll, like, practice their T work, like, singing their song. Like, Addie Barnard, she practices singing her song with the T work. So I know that's big for her. But, yeah, I am at the beginning of the game, so I'm just ready to start and don't really pay any attention to it.
Yeah, I've gotten different answers to that over the years. To some people, it really marks something, and to others, it's more just kind of a sideshow. So who has the walk-up song on the team that you wish you could steal?
I like Cam's,
but I don't
know what it's called. It's just kind of a chill song that nobody's used before.
I'm not sure what that one's called. I like Cam's a lot.
Yeah, I
think Addie's are pretty good. They're very funny to Addie.
Lolo always has weird ones, too.
Yeah.
Like, what is her? It's not Black and Yellow. It's Ravioli.
Ravioli.
Like a spinoff of Black and Yellow.
Okay, this is horrible radio. I'm looking for, I have a Hi-Chew grape candy. But now I can't find it. If I were to hold up a Hi-Chew grape candy, I wanted you to explain the significance of Hi-Chew candies to this season.
Hi-Chews. Maddie Espinosa loves Hi-Chews. So she got us all started on them at the beginning of the season. And now every time we hit a home run, Coach B throws one to us around third.
And do you have a favorite flavor? They come in many flavors, I've found.
The mango, all the time.
I actually have never eaten a Hi-Chew. Like, I don't know how many home runs I've hit this season, but they're all in my locker.
So you've hit 6 or 7 home runs, and they're, so you just save them and put them in your locker.
Yeah, I have retainers in most of the time, so I just haven't tried one. And then we started doing good, and I'm not very superstitious, but we started doing good, and I haven't eaten any, so they're staying in my locker.
Interesting. All right. Sydney, you're from Norbourne, small town in central Missouri. My aunt is from Norbourne.
Oh, no way.
And the woman who introduced me to my wife is from Norbourne, so I kind of feel like I'm maybe the biggest Norbourne backer in Wichita, other than yourself. So, Sydney, tell us about the Soybean Festival. I understand this is like the highlight of the summer in Norbourne, Missouri.
Yes. So I haven't been able to go to the Soybean Festival the last couple of years with softball, but it is the biggest thing. Like, they plan a year in advance. They start planning, like, a couple months after it for the next year, and it's just a lot of little fun events for kids with soybeans, like corn hunt and watermelon contest, and then there's rides, and I think there's usually some slow pitch tournaments and stuff. So it's just a festival for everybody to get together. I know like 10 towns from around the area usually come and just have fun.
Small town Americana.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I've heard a lot about the Soybean Festival. I've been to Norbourne. I've never been there for the Soybean Festival.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to try to do this. Riley Buck, Riley Buck, Riley, 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 Riley Buck. That, I think, is the dugout chant when you're up to bat. Is that pretty close?
That's what I'm about.
Okay, here's my question. Do you ever wake up Sunday night, you've played 4 games, does that chant ever wake you up just echoing in your ear?
Not that one specifically, but I have dreams about softball cheers all the time. I think we just play so much and we hear them all the time. There's, I mean, anytime I have a softball dream in general, I will hear the cheering and the chanting. And I'll wake up the next day and I'm like, why am I dreaming about this stuff still? Like, I can't get it out of my brain. But at the same time, it's kind of, like, fun. It's, like, funny to wake up and, like, just realize, like, oh, softball's still on my mind. It's still right there with me.
I try, when I sit down the, I guess, the third baseline, I try to see who's leading the cheers. It seems like Lolo is really active, Lauren Mills. Who's kind of the head person that gets the cheers and the chants going?
There's several.
Lauren Johnson
does some. Enoch. Lolo does quite
Lolo
a bit.
Does a lot.
Haley starts ours off at the very beginning of every game. Just kind of a good combined effort with everyone.
That is a good fun part of softball. Shockers, of course, are hitting the ball just all over. I think they're second nationally with 90 home runs. That's been a theme of Christy Redbenner's teams during her time here. Why? What does she do? What does the coaching staff do that produces such good offensive teams?
I think from the very beginning, one of the biggest things they teach, and they're continuing to preach to us throughout the season, is just to be aggressive, to look early in the count and find a pitch that you like. Obviously, if you fall down 0-2 to someone, then you're really in their hands. Like, the pitcher's going to start throwing their pitches, and it's going to be a lot easier for them to beat you. So I think just approach-wise, they just really teach us to be aggressive, to find something early in a count and to swing hard, like go at it, be very offensive swingers and not defensive swingers.
Sydney, what's your description of the coaching you get for hitting the ball here?
Coaching I get from hitting, I think it's kind of different than most on the team. I'm a base hitter. They know that. So it's just, like Riley say, I get up there, first pitch, if it's there, I'm going to swing at it. And I think that's what Coach B and Coach E want from me a lot. Because as a leadoff, they want me to see pitches, but they also know that I'm most successful when I swing first or second pitch.
The defense on this team is very good. I think that's been a big point of emphasis over the last couple seasons, is really tightening that up. What's the reason behind the improvement on defense this season for the Shockers?
Infield-wise, I feel like we just have a lot of experience. The girls that are out there right now have played a lot, and I think that comes with understanding how important defense is. Like, it's easy to enjoy hitting and hit extra and to be all about the home runs, especially when we're hyping up how well we're hitting. But we also know if we're not defending and we're not behind our pitchers, it's going to be hard to win games. So I think that's something infield-wise that we've always preached, but we knew this year, like, we were going to have their backs. Like, we don't want people to get extra bases. We don't want to give them a second chance to get on or anything like that.
Do you have a favorite defensive highlight this season by a Shocker? Sydney, I'll let you go first.
Favorite defensive highlight? Personally, I thought mine was at UCF. I made a diving play to keep the runner from scoring. I thought that was cool. My mom sent me a video of it, like, several times and shared it several times. So, yeah, that's probably mine.
That was a good one. Riley, how about you? What stands out?
I'd have to say that one, and then Phoenix at Oklahoma State, her diving play that made top 10 as well. She's covered so much ground. Just watching it unfold, I feel like at third base, I can take a step back, and then I hit it, and I'm like, oh, no. And she covered so much ground and made a great play.
Take us through the communication between the two of you on the left side of the infield. What's most important? Where does that really come into play, you know, on ground balls that direction?
I think a big thing with me and Riley on the left side is that, like, we really enjoy defense. Like, it's fun for us. So we go out there, and we know that we have to be serious. We know that we have to make plays, but we also just kind of jerk around, like, and make sure that we're not making it bigger than what it is. We talk about who's up, what they've done last time, and what we think they'll do this time. But even if we're wrong, we just, like, shake it off, and we're having fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we do a really good job of communicating what batters are up, potential threats of bunting, slapping, that kind of stuff. And so we do a good job communicating what we need to know, but also joking enough and enjoying it and laughing some that we don't feel too much pressure. I mean, bases could be loaded and we're still over here just kind of chilling, hanging out, doing our thing. And I think that's really important because the second you start feeling some pressure or you start freaking out in the infield, it's hard to make plays. So I think we got to do a good job of just slowing each other down and relaxing each other.
Kaylee Hecker has been a really good defensive player her whole time at Wichita State. Tell us a little bit about her on defense. What makes her so good at that part of the game?
I think she just has such good hands. And we just know, like, if we see the ball head over there, she's going to make the play. And I think that has been big for us this year, just trusting that our infield especially is going to get the job done, especially Kaylee on the right side.
Yeah, Riley, you've been playing with her for several years. Tell us about Kaylee's defensive ability.
Yeah, she's just amazing out there, honestly. She has great range. She has an amazing arm. And she makes the play look so easy. That is very difficult. So I think a lot of times she makes the play and it looks so easy and you're like, oh, that's just routine. But you put someone else out there and that's going to be a diving play in the hole. So I think she just makes the job look really easy over there. She does a great job.
Wichita State plays on Friday. You got the bye by being the first seed. How valuable is that bye? What does that mean for the tournament in your eyes?
I think it's huge. I think a big part of that, I love that South Florida has to play 3 games in a row. So hopefully if we see them on Saturday, Quirkle will be a little worn down by then, where we'll be much fresher. But I love it. I love that we just have to play those 2 games. It gives us an extra day of practice, and we should be feeling really good by Friday.
Yeah. I think it helps a lot, too, that our last conference series was at Tulsa. So their field's a little goofy, but we played there. We know what it's like, and so I think it helps a lot that it's there as well.
Not a bad trip at all for the Shockers. You mentioned Georgina Corrick, fabulous pitcher for South Florida, so I guess there's at least a reasonable chance you'll see her again. You saw her 3 times the weekend here. What did you learn? How do you approach another potential meeting with her?
I think looking back and all kind of into last week, going into this week, we've been watching a lot of film on everyone because you never really know who you're going to play when it gets to the tournament. I think personally, and I'd say for quite a few of us, we were swinging out of the zone a lot. If we start swinging out of the zone, it's easy for her to get us out. So I think we just need to see something lower, attack her good pitches so she's not ahead of us. And if we start swinging at strikes, I think we will hit her well and we'll have a much better chance.
So Riley, you're wrapping up your college or wrapping up your softball career. Take us through what's next for you.
So I start the physical therapy program here at Wichita State in June. So I'll finish up. I graduate on Saturday, actually, from my undergrad, and then I'll start PT school June 1st.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long 3 by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number 1 team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.